welcome back to our program this afternoon. It's Technology Hour, and I'm your host, Lynn. We're visiting today with Owen Honoreau. He's the director of the Vitamin C Foundation, who has really brought to light, at least much of the information that was developed and patented by Dr. Rath and also Dr. Linus Pauling. The music kind of covered up what you just said about proline, because that's an interesting factor as well. And
it looks like both of the lysine and proline, which are what are amino acids, and to remind everybody, those are the constituent building blocks of protein. When we digest our protein, animal protein, it breaks it down into amino acids, then our body puts it together into our proteins. And so, but unlike lysine, proline can be made by the human body. We think that as people age, they might make less of it, and that might explain why there's more cardiovascular disease as people age. Mm-hmm. So we think proline and lysine and vitamin C are the three vital nutrients here with respect to cardiovascular disease, both stopping the problem and then reversing the problem. And, of course, the question that must come to mind is if there's any validity to this whatsoever, why hasn't science been looking at it?
Well,
if you want me to go ahead, I could give my.
I sure do, and I want to make note that over this past week, and just researching vitamin C and everything that I could find in my 35 years of papers and reports, I came across something that was pretty incredible. How it actually was a paper on the government stonewalling vitamin C, and of course I looked right there. And here it goes back to reciting the time where polio in the late 40s, early 50s, when there was this terrible outbreak of polio, where it was disclosed at many of these first large meetings of the government and doctors and research to say that polio could be eradicated with high doses of vitamin C.
You're speaking of Dr. Fred Klenner. And Dr. Klenner... The story goes is that he was treating a patient. He was a Reidsville, North Carolina physician, and they used to make house calls in the 1930s and the 1940s. And a patient had two distinct conditions, one that was untreatable or no known treatment. The other one was known to be treatable by vitamin C, and he happened to have some for injection, and the particular ailment caused the skin to be blue, and it was known that you could provide vitamin C and return the skin color. So he did that, and he observed that the other supposedly untreatable ailment, a viral ailment, cleared up. And that precipitated his research into a keen observation until I've got to read a reporter who wrote the 1954 that she was speaking with Dr. Klenner, and he had showed slides of hospital records and fever charts and told of case after case of meningitis, encephalitis, virus pneumonia, and serious complications following scarlet fever and other diseases treated with massive amounts of vitamin C. And what's interesting here is that many patients had not been expected to live, but huge amounts of antibiotics had been given without success. In most instances, fevers range from 103 to 105 degrees Fahrenheit. Within a few minutes after the vitamin was injected, fever started to drop, and temperatures frequently reached normal within a few hours. Mm. And again, this was Adele Davis writing in 1954 about the Klenner work. But that's absolutely true. Dr. Klenner's paper, which was presented to the American Medical Association, he gave the paper in person, was that 60 out of 60 were completely cured of polio in that manner.
Well, right there early on, but yet here comes the vaccines and the petrochemicals, and here we go, and we have this terrible care situation that was created, not to mention millions of people died, and certainly in Japan, because 6,000 people died of polio in just a short period of time in research studies that America did on the vaccine.
Right.
Before they got it right.
That's right. And, you know, polio is a success for the vaccine, but you're absolutely right that it because of the emphasis on the vaccine, this other treatment with vitamin C was put on the back and completely ignored, and so its success was completely ignored. But there's a terrific book out, I'm sure you're aware of, that tries to bring this old research back into the limelight, and that's Dr. Thomas Levy's book called Vitamin C, Infectious Diseases and Toxins, Curing the Incurable. It was written in 2002. And the problem with the vitamin C and its ability to attack viral infections is not that there is too little information, it's that there's too much information. I know, or I've read, that there are 24,000 studies on vitamin C. There's up to 80,000 articles and reports. It's almost impossible for a human being to read the abstracts for those things, much less read the entire study. But Dr. Levy has done a remarkable job of, as a textbook writer might, assimilating this information. He writes about Klenner that he was able to demonstrate repeatedly that vitamin C appears to be the ideal agent for killing any infecting virus.
Of course, to our listeners, Dr. Levy, many of them will remember, we've had on the show as the fabulous doctor from Peak Performance who's developed the studies to tell you whether or not you react to the materials that are put into your mouth through the Dental Association.
That's right. In fact, that's what got Dr. Levy interested, I think, in vitamin C.
He is a cardiologist turned researcher and dentist.
That's right. What again, since you brought up the poll, I just want to kind of finish up on this. Here we have Dr. Levy's book was published in 2002, much less written before that, so he didn't know anything about this SARS epidemic we're facing. And, of course, we can't know for sure without trying that vitamin C, but it has been effective against every virus up to this point and almost every bacteria. In fact, Dr. Levy's book starts that, amazingly, vitamin C has already been documented in the medical literature to have readily and consistently cured both acute polio and acute hepatitis, two viral diseases still considered by modern medicine to be incurable regardless of the treatment used. And then he goes on, citing 1,200 studies to basically support his notion and challenge anyone to take a look at the studies or bring up their own that shows anything to the contrary. And so the bottom line is vitamin C not only works, it works within minutes bringing fevers down. Mm. It should be undeniable. The only way it could be denied is it's ignored, it's not tried. Mm-hmm.
So instead of being hooked up to our beds in the hospital with sugar water, we probably should have an IV going with vitamin C.
That's exactly right. In fact, if you know anybody here who knows anybody or if they're going to be facing any of these, whether it be West Nile, whether it be SARS, they would be wise to find one of the 500 physicians quietly, they don't advertise it, who were giving IV vitamin C and curing viral infections routinely.
So this might be a doctor that is known to do chelation.
That's true.
Or a nurse practitioner that is known to give vitamins by way of injection or through IV that would be giving a nutritional supplement directly into the blood through IV.
Now, what's interesting, of course, is that we take, you know, the problem we have with Hong Kong. 60 million people are terrified right now, and rightly so. The death rate looks to be much higher than they're publicizing. You cannot put 60 million people on vitamin C IV. You can put the people that get the acute illness on it, but you can't. The way that they're going to have to fight this, when they look at this literature, when people make this available, and we can talk about the fact that the government right now is trying to shut this up, the fact that vitamin C does
have. I would like for you to go into a bit of that, because that's really pretty frightening right there.
You know, it is, and I just have to believe that the people doing it think they are acting in the best interest. They really believe the fact that if there were a cure like what I'm talking about for viral illness, everybody would know about it, so therefore it can't be true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why these books by Levy and these research papers are invaluable. So we do have that problem, but people are not going to be able to use IV
no.
to prevent it. So that means they're going to have to be taking by mouth vitamin C.
And what's the best source for this, would you say?
Levy recommends sodium ascorbate, ascorbic acid. With the amounts we're talking about, it can only be, the regular things that you would buy at a store. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of choice in this. There's probably going to be a shortage when people find out. There's all sorts of aspects to that. I know that Dr. Cathcart, who has been treating 20,000 patients of viral illnesses, basically curing them since at least the 1970s, claims that ascorbic acid is the only form by mouth that has the what he calls the ascorbate effect, the effect of destroying these viruses. He thinks it has to do with the fact, the molecular structure, that when it's bound with something, it can only accept one free radical.
Mm-hmm.
When it's ascorbic acid, it can soak up two. And he likens using high amounts of vitamin C like pouring water on a free radical fire. And so that's one of the reasons he thinks that very, very high amounts have the effect that they do on the body. And his claim is that all the damage done during these illnesses is the function of the free radical
mm-hmm.
stream that spurts out once these illnesses start their havoc.
So that means that it's free to morph into whatever it needs to become, or to destroy a cell to steal the electrical potential.
Right. So ascorbic acid, to answer your question, I think it is ascorbic acid. And just, again, the fact is that that's one of the things about these technology products that I'm connected with. It's a recognition that people just can't take the pill, the number of pills that you would have to take
mm-hmm.
day after day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they turn these into drink mixes, sweetened by stevia. You can either, the regular taste is very, very good, but you could add a little bit of pineapple orange or something and vary the taste from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
But you avoid the dozens and dozens of pills that would otherwise be required on a daily basis to boost the vitamin C to what our liver should be making if we were like the rest of the animals.
Where does ester C fall into this consideration?
I think there's two sides to that from my knowledge. And from talking to the Linus Pauling Institute, Pauling was a little bit wary of it. It is known that ester C is absorbed faster, does get into cells faster, and less of it is required to cure scurvy in guinea pigs. So on that part, there's no doubt. However, it's not the same vitamin C that the animals in the animal kingdom's liver makes in the liver.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, it's an enhanced form of vitamin C. But I think the jury's a little bit out on long-term use. So I stick with ascorbic acid myself.
Now, what's the difference between, you mentioned sodium ascorbate, and we have calcium ascorbate, and that might just be where it figures into, it can not be bound with anything? Or is sodium the best, if you're going to have it bound, sodium is the way?
Well, one of the reasons, I respect Dr. Levy because I know the base of literature that he went through, and his recommendation in his book just published is either ascorbic acid or sodium ascorbate, and some of the reasons that they mentioned sodium ascorbate, I think, is it just makes it a little less acidic, a little easier on the stomach. Remember, we have to take it in by mouth. Most animals produce it in their liver.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they get by mouth is extra. And I think that's sort of the reason for sodium ascorbate, just to help people to
because it's an
tolerate. He also cautions, though, against calcium ascorbate. And I'll leave that to the readers of his text to read that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think ascorbic acid seems to be that's what Pauling recommended. It is, in fact, if there are any physicians who are thinking about IV vitamin C, you cannot give ascorbic acid IV. It has to be sodium ascorbate IV. And either at the Vitamin C Foundation, you can find a link to how to prepare high-dose vitamin C for IV application.
There's all the doctors out there, right, that are doing chelation with the organizations that, of course, have formulations, too.
Well, there are. It's fairly easy to make, and the instructions, are on the website. And this is Dr. Cathcart, who is, again, the world leader in how to do this. And there's also a video that physicians can buy. But I think, as the word starts to spread, that vitamin C, and not vitamin C in low doses, they're absolutely right. They have absolutely proved that if you take vitamin C in a low dose, it is not antiviral. Okay, it only becomes antiviral at what Levy calls optidoses, which are larger than megadoses. I mean, we're talking maybe 50 to 100 grams, 50,000 to 100,000 intravenously, depending on the disease.
Hmm.
And so for something like SARS, my guess is we're probably talking more.
Wow. All right. We're going to be right back, so stay tuned with us. We have more to come.